Fan. Cowboys on Sunday night. The pumpkin's gonna turn midnight, Halloween, when one squad has a winning bender ended and another extends 1-3, and Dalvin runs duckshot in a thriller. Gregory ain't got no shot. Michael Parsons, very good. Also very rookie. Let's go. Let's go with this thing now. Anybody showing up to the palatial purple palace? Wearing a costume on a Halloween night? Some costumes going to be all over the place at U.S. Bank Stadium Sunday night for the Vikings and them boys. Anybody showing up in full vampire regalia? Is anybody going to show up as Dracula? Dracula, along with Frankenstein, the werewolf, low-key the mummy. But, I mean, that is horror. That is monster immortality. Specifically those three. Frankenstein, the werewolf, and Dracula. Anybody showing up at the palatial purple paradise on Sunday night in full vampire regalia? Like that big, fresh, that long black cape? Some type of three-piece suit? Maybe a red bow tie? Hair slicked back like Pat Riley? Traces of blood from the corners of your mouths? And fangs. Be a thriller, thriller night. Who's going to go full vampire regalia? Get on NBC in a fresh Dracula costume. The origin of Draculia. Dracula. There was a book written in 1897 by a man named Bram Stoker. The inspiration of Dracula was from Romanian culture and a killer named Vlad the Third. Or Vlad the Impaler. Now, Vlad the Impaler, Vlad the Third, back in the 1400s, he actually had a fascination and or affinity for blood. I mean, when Vlad the Third killed you, you were impaled. And history has it, Vlad the Impaler drank your blood. So once Bram Stoker, 450 years later, caught wind of that, he wrote a book called Dracula, 1897. It was the inspiration from Romanian blood-drinking immortality. Drac. The root of the word Dracula means devil in New Age Romanian history. Thus, Draculia. and holding a crucifix in front of Dracula to just get him to stop. So who on the Minnesota Vikings can play the role of Dracula on Halloween night and Sunday night football? You need to be sneaky. Be able to fly around. Perform at your very best at night. Appear out of nowhere and suck the life right out of the adversary. Who wants to take a bite out of these Cowboys' chances like Dracula takes bites out of humanity? I think it's this guy.
Burrow under center, tight end to the right, Higgins in motion to the left to join Ja'Marr Chase. Burrow goes play action. He has Harrison Smith all over him. It's a sack back at the 45, and the Vikings have two. And here comes the hitman with a loss of 10 yards, second and 20.
Harry the hitman. Harry the you got bit man with those fangs and the jutting of the chin and the shape of the face and the Captain Cool nature when he's just a regular person. You see him with those cool hats and those cool outfits, man. Harrison Smith got some Captain Cool to him. But when he executes his toil, specifically after the sun goes down, ain't no garlic on the breath of Tyron Smith or Zach Martin or Dak Prescott that will slow Harry the Bite Man. Very sneaky, handles business. He handles business when the sun goes down, and then he's on to the next body. Very capable of flying around, and he hangs like a bat at the ceiling of the defense, and then he strikes. Like Dracula, Harry the Hitman has some Captain Cool to him. And Dracula has some Captain Cool to him, too, when he ain't rolling around wearing the long black cape with blood dripping from the corners of his mouth, and he's looking to penetrate neck of man or neck of woman and suck blood. Nah, Harry just wants to suck the life out of your offense. Whether he is feigning the bite on the edge of the defensive line, or he's going right after that metaphorical jugular and just sucking all of the blood out of your offense. Some Captain Cool to him by day, then the monster unfurls, and he just goes to metaphorically killing people on the field. And then he's gone. Just like a thief in the night.
You know, an interesting, I don't know if it's a fact or if it's lore, but the idea is that Dracula lives forever. And the only way to conquer Dracula, the bat, is a stake through the heart. I think many of us have heard that. Well, for this guy, it was a neck, not a heart. He must be immortal.
And on second down, play action for Kyler. Straight in the pocket, he's sacked again. He's sacked by Daniil Hunter. It's a trifecta of sacks for Daniil Hunter. He brings down Kyler Murray way back at the 34-yard line. So that'll be a 9-yard loss, third and 15 coming up.
He's the reason that they stopped doing blood drives during home games, PA. Nobody survives his bite. And when he smells blood, he attacks. He isn't immortal, but he's quiet.
Looks great in black three-piece suits.
He's hypnotizing in his technique. And the way that he makes even the most powerful opponent helpless to his advances.
You got a witness.
He's charming. Engaging,
yeah.
The quiet killer. You want to love him even though he wants to kill you.
May have been known once to tell a lady, I have traveled oceans of time to find you.
According to Von Helsing, or in this case, Vondre Patterson, Daniil Hunter has the strength of 20 men.
Ow.
Danielle Hunter, like Dracula, as Dracula, he is Dracula.
Yeah.
Can defy gravity to a certain extent.
Sing it.
Possesses superhuman agility, it is said. It is written. Able to climb vertical surfaces upside down. He will twist, he will turn, he will bend, he will spin, he will confuse you, make you dizzy, and then he has you.
And he morphs into different creatures and comes out of nowhere.
From the grave, from the shut coffin, to the field at U.S. Bank Stadium, he has the ability to vanish and reappear elsewhere at will.
Beautiful.
If he knows the path, he can come out from anything or into anything, regardless of how close it is bound or even if it is soldered shut. Bring on your elite offensive lines.
Yeah.
Bring on your mobile quarterback who doesn't want to run but can run, likes to throw. Danielle Hunter will suck the blood and the life out of your offense. He will kill you, he will make you his, and make you rest in hell for eternity.
Oh my God!
So on a scary night at U.S. Bank Stadium,
yeah,
pick your eternal doom of poison.
Amen.
Hitman or Danielle Hunter, either
Amen.
Way, you lose.
They morph into different beasts. If you are left tackle Tyron Smith or right guard Zach Martin, both extremely ballyhooed on a Halloween night, go ahead and bring a mirror and try to execute it during the course of the game. Our guys don't show up in those mirrors. And then when you look at for a reflection, you're like, what happened? By that time, Dak's symbolic neck has metaphorical fangs in it, and the ball is on the ground in metaphorical fashion like somebody's heart, and that's when we eat. I want to see what this song sounds like.
Is that Frankenstein on Slash?
What's up, Bootsy?
What is this?
We got Bootsy Collins in the system.
Okay.
And it's called Monster Mash. And I want to hear. Scare me, Bootsy. Scare me, Bootsy.
For monsters from his slab.
Here we go.
And suddenly, to my surprise.
Oh! The Monster Mash. I mean, is Bootsy Collins capable of doing anything normal?
Well, I like what is most usually perceived as his normal stuff.
Zang.
This is a bit different.
How about this? Forgiveness. This ain't forgiveness. But that's what Dak and Zeke will be asking from their fan base.
Wait a minute, is somebody ripping a bubbler on the front end of Monster Mash?
What was that?
Just listen to that.
Forgiveness. Please forgive us. We lost our second game. We were bitten by metaphorical Draculas. I mean, somebody just hitting the hell out that water bong.
Holy
oh my
cats.
God. An eerie sight. Don't spill it on your carpet like Isaac.
And suddenly,
Book of Isaac, chapter 2, verse 2. Water bomb spilled on shag carpet.
It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash.
He ignored no.
He did the monster mash from my laboratory in the
Listen to this background.
How? The bedroom and the vampire's feast.
How?
From my electro.
He's Harry Bite Man.
They did the Monster Mash.
He plays with Danielle.
It was a graveyard smash.
And down goes Dak.
It caught on in a flash.
Ain't coming back.
They did the Monster Mash.
10:15, 9 to noon, what's going on? You get all of that second to none entertainment at no charge. Wasn't that great?
This is free.
Wasn't that, I mean, forget the free iHeartRadio app. What about the free 9 to noon, ever-expanding and vast radio network? Your monster mash leader, biting necks for profit for more than two decades at KFAN.
They played the monster mash.
Anybody need any money? We can help you out. Here's Nardo.
Yes, indeed. The Fan, along with Paul Bunyan Plumbing and Drains, are trying to put a grand in your hand with the National Cash Contest. All you got to do is text the keyword bills to 200-200. Text the word bills to 200-200. Might win $1,000. Text bills to 200-200. Text message and...
The Fan.
Take me to charge.
Charge Tuesdays about 10:20, and each and every Friday at a Buffalo Wild Wings near you. This one happens to be Buffalo Wild Wings Oakdale this Friday, and a very special Hall of Fame guest will be joining us on site. More of that coming up a little later. But Charge, Paul Allen, what's going on, bud?
Hi. Oakdale is not near me. Just for the record, I'm going to leave now.
Right,
and make sure we get there on time.
And Monticello's basically in your backyard, and with that 94 traffic as you head up north. I mean, I should have left Thursday at like 11:58 p.m. Man, so it equals itself out, doesn't it?
It kind of does. It kind of does. Did you have a chance to see Patrick Mahomes' game from last Sunday?
Yes, and I saw one of your cohorts, or I saw a friend of yours, and somebody tweeted, you know, low-key in fantasy football or whatever, is Patrick Mahomes like kind of droppable? Which, I mean, statistically speaking, maybe, but the answer clearly is no. And like, if I were to do just one more guillotine league, like maybe a private guillotine league tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I won't be taking Patrick Mahomes. Can you read between the lines there on my low-key passive-aggressive request? I had so much fun last week with a bunch of rubes. Yeah, I mean, if you have it in your heart, how about a $100 a team private guillotine tomorrow night, 7 o'clock? I will be in it against, what, 10 others? We'll talk trash in the message area, as we are wont to do. Chip chair chance. I mean, we can fill it right now if you want.
It's already 7 of the 11 spots are already filled, Paul.
Ooh,
it's
let's
available
go.
At guillotineleagues.com. So four of you listeners right now, jump in. You can play against PA. The draft is Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and knock heads with the great fantasy mind of Paul Allen.
I started with 4 geese. I'm down to 2. So I'm very, very beatable. I'm on the chopping block seemingly every week. Through the gridiron gospel and whatever down by down dots of divinity keep me alive. I am alive in 2, but now we're going to increase it to 1 more. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, guillotineleagues.com. Let's battle and let's fill that bad boy right now.
Let's say you've got the first pick in this new draft. Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook's done with his bye. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry isn't. Travis Kelce isn't. Mm. Who would you take with the first overall pick? Let's say you've got a 1 in 11 chance of having the first overall pick. If you get the first overall pick,
yeah,
who do you take? And you can say it because, it wouldn't change anything if people know who you take if you have the first overall pick. So you have the first overall pick. They can't change anything.
What do I look like? What would you do? What do I look like, Ben Vickers? I have no idea. When I have questions like that, I ask you. So tell me, if I get the one spot in the private gi 7 o'clock tomorrow night, crowd loving that, who goes first and why?
I think it's still Derrick Henry, even with the bye weeks. And the bye weeks are lethal in this format. It's really tough to lose your stars. But the way Derrick Henry's going and the fact that he never gets hurt, Paul, I mean, that's just the clincher, is the reliability for him. And that's such a big part of survival in the Guillotine League, is not having your guy go, you know, one series and get knocked out.
Ugh.
So yeah, I think I would still go Derrick Henry with that first pick, even with the bye.
If you wanted to bet the Super Bowl winner right now, how do you bet against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I mean, I know you ain't big on giving somebody else your money in front of Halloween at 2.5, 3 to 1 to hopefully collect it mid-February. But still, how do you beat these Bucs?
You can beat the Bucs through the air, Paul. I mean, they are imminently beatable. The catch is they're not playing any teams that can show their vulnerability in that secondary, the banged up secondary. Last week they were trying out their fifth and sixth string cornerbacks, and Justin Fields still couldn't pass.
Yeah,
which is a whole other conversation about how bad Justin Fields looks right now. And you know, Matt Nagy may have been right up at the beginning of the year when he was very resistant to starting Fields and didn't start him until Andy Dalton got hurt. He was right. Fields is not ready. And they haven't put Fields in a great position to win either. They're giving him, you know, very few pass attempts. They're not running him at all, which is ridiculous. But the fact that he could not expose that secondary was ridiculous. And listen to the quarterbacks. Just think of the arm talent of the quarterbacks that Tampa has faced of late. You got Fields. Jalen Hurts can't pass. Jacoby Brissett can't pass. Mac Jones can't pass. They saw Stafford. He blows up for 343 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
They saw Matt Ryan. He went 302. They saw Dak Prescott. He went 403. So when this team faces good passers, the Bucs, and they would in the playoffs, obviously, probably every week, that's how the Bucs don't make the Super Bowl, Paul, is they can't string together three straight games where they hold good passers back.
Yes or no answer. Do you believe next level Tanny, Ryan Tannehill, can pass?
Yes.
Okay. And we know Derrick Henry's the favorite to win the MVP, correct?
Well, he's right there. Close. I mean, Kyler Murray's in there. Yeah. Cooper Kupp's in the conversation. Yeah, there are others. But yeah.
Yep.
Cooper. I think right now it's the guy who's on pace to break the single season rushing record.
Yeah. Cooper Kupp, no doubt. So you got Derrick Henry. Next level Tanny can pass. Tennessee Titans 25-1 right now. What do you think of that?
Ooh,
how freaking juicy is that for our friend Todd Downing? Let's go.
I like what you're saying, because I like my value bets, and that is a value bet. You know, in this defense, the Tennessee defense is getting better, and that's been the thing that's been holding them back, has been the defense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and they're through a lot of the toughest parts of their schedule. They've already seen Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. And here they are still sitting at 5 wins after all those teams. I like it, Paul.
And
that'll test it. That's a snappy play.
But you know what? Let's wait, because they're going to lose this weekend at Indianapolis, okay? As a road favorite in a divisional game, and it's going to go to 28 or 30 to 1. And maybe gas prices will go down, so it'll be even more prudent to fill your tank. There goes Polly Wally, Salvanide 35, and there they are. All right, 1029, fantasy pickups. Just go ahead and stream your consciousness.
A number of guys that I think you want to look at right now. You could play the Deshaun Watson game if you want to. This thing is coming to a head with the trade deadline approaching. It sounds like Watson's opened up the number of teams he's willing to be traded to. So you could roll the dice on that. I still think there's a good chance the trade can happen and he doesn't start this year. And some teams making the trade for next year. That's a possibility.
That's a good take.
Tua has been really good in two straight games, related to this whole Deshaun Watson thing and probably complicating it. Tua's 2 games back off his long injury has looked really good. And so Tua Tagovailoa is another guy you could look at. Mac Jones coming off the best game of his career. Tyrod Taylor will likely return maybe this week or the week after that. And he actually played pretty well at the beginning of the season. A couple of injury issues at running back, if you want to play that game. D'Ernest Johnson, if he didn't get picked up last week, is an obvious priority add.
Yeah.
Kenyon Drake, because Josh Jacobs got knocked out, and maybe you're starting running back there. And then Miles Sanders out for probably 3 weeks. They're going to use Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell.
Okay, now with Miles Sanders, if you were at all sneaky on him, like deep draft in a snake or deep draft in a gi, it's been beyond ridiculously bad for Miles. Is that because Jalen runs so much, or they changed the offense, or what?
It's because they weren't running the ball, period, Paul. Leading up to last week, over the previous month, which is a pretty long time, their running backs were averaging 10 carries a game, all of them. And Miles Sanders was getting, you know, maybe two-thirds of that work. But, you know, there's nowhere to go with that. They just weren't running the ball. And so in time, that number probably straightens itself out a little bit. Sanders also hadn't honestly looked great, which had opened the door for Gainwell a little bit. But Sanders was getting more work. And I they have the easiest schedule going forward. The rest of the season, the easiest running back schedule is the Eagles. So, you know, you can get Miles Sanders for free right now. Somebody might just straight up drop him at this point.
Yeah.
But he comes back and he's your probable starter when he returns.
You know, you know who is an absolute fantasy puzzler to me? And it's been like that all year. It's Brandon Ayuk. I mean, yeah, seriously, part of the greatest wide receiver draft in the history of the NFL. You know, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Justin Jefferson. Then after that, we can put Chase Claypool, T. Higgins, and Brandon Ayuk off their rookie years, and Jerry Jeudy, I guess. You could put them all in a basket and pick one out, and that would be fine behind Lamb and Jefferson. I mean, Brandon Ayuk, I don't know what he did or what he said to piss off Next Level Shanny. He, for a team that needs speed and a team that needs help, they're giving him no run.
None whatsoever. And it's the amazing thing is, Paul, I'm looking at his box scores from last year right now. He was good. I mean, he was filling box scores. Now, part of it was they were injured. They had all those injuries at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at games with 11 targets, 14 targets, 16 targets, 13 targets, 90 yards, 100 yards, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. I mean, Brandon Ayuk was filling box scores last year. There was no way you could have seen this coming. And the only thing we know that lends any insight into why he doesn't even get balls thrown his way anymore and why he's on the field some. He's on the field 70% of the plays, is that they keep talking about maturity and that he may not have gone through last offseason doing the work in the offseason that they wanted. And we've seen this team kick to the curb Dante Pettis, who was a second-round pick, who splashed in either his first or second year, and it looked like Pettis was headed for greatness, and they kicked him to the curb, and Pettis was off the team by the end of the next year. And that may be where Brandon Ayuk is heading here. They don't care about the draft equity. If they don't want you and you're not performing, San Francisco they'll cut your ass, and that might be what happens with Brandon Ayuk here.
You got anything else up your sleeve, or will I just see you Friday?
Yeah, just one more thing, and maybe we could dive down on it Friday a little bit. Patrick Mahomes getting all this criticism right now. The Kansas City defense is terrible, and his offensive line is bad, and there's some real parallels here. And I'm not saying they're the same quality of player, but this reminds me of Kirk Cousins last year with the horrible defense, the laboring offensive line, and everybody's blaming Kirk Cousins. And Mahomes is under the microscope right now, and it feels like the situation is very similar to what we saw here, where Mahomes isn't playing that badly, but everything else around that team is brutal, and Mahomes is getting dragged down with it.
PA and charge.
Beautifully done. Buffalo Wild Wings, Oakdale on Friday. Greenway, yes. Hall of Famer Steve Hutchinson is in from Tennessee, and with the publicist, will make the trek east to join us at Buffalo Wild Wings, Oakdale. The HOF, the artist formerly known as the Abrasive Hutch, will be with us Friday, and I'm excited.
We haven't had I'm shocked on two levels. One is, you know, the feast for as great as the feast is, we haven't had a lot of people like that. We had John Sullivan come to a feast once, which was fun. Mm-hmm. But we haven't had a lot of people like that. We get Greenway every week. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. During the playing days of Chad Hutchinson, you never could have convinced me that Chad Hutchinson would come out to a feast.
It's Steve Hutchinson. Chad Hutchinson's the disease Bears quarterback who put that L on us in 2003 when McQuarters, the rookie, ripped the ball away from Moss front right of the end zone. and then we would win the next week, and then the McCown-Nathan Poole game took place the week after that. Bad memories.
Correct.
All right, see you, bud.
Yeah, see you in a week.
Paul Charchian at Paul Charchian via Twitter. Once again, that's the Friday Football Feast, Buffalo Wild Wings, Oakdale this Friday, and guillotineleagues.com. Not all leagues have to be $100 or $50. You can play for $30 and so on. Guillotineleagues.com, the only way to play fantasy football.
Yeah, the Fan.
News du Nord coming up around the corner. It's 10:43. It's your buddy Paul Allen. By the way, I started a podcast called Faith and Goal. We are two episodes into it. If you would like to listen to either episode, you can find them via my show page, KFAN.com. It's the Paul Allen show page. And we will have a new one this week. It'll be available on Thursday. And it'll focus on the number three. The significance of the number three involving the Bible and the National Football League. So that'll be available on Thursday. And then next week, an associate producer who's a Minnesotan, who's part of a show that I adore called The Chosen. His name is Justin Overlander. We will be recording with him today, and that'll be available next week. Once again, the podcast is called Faith and Goal. News du Nord is sponsored in part by Canterbury Park. That's also one of the sponsors for the Faith and Goal podcast, along with Continental Diamond, JTR Roofing, and a Faith Family Church in Burnsville and Rosemount. So go to the free iHeartRadio app or my show page, KFAN.com, the Paul Allen show page, or wherever you find podcasts, and look for my newest venture. It is called Faith and Goal.
News du Nord brought to you by Canterbury's Card Casino. It's poker, it's blackjack, it's table games, and it's all year round. Just got to go to CanterburyPark.com. No live racing until the spring, but so many other ways to enjoy yourself. Go to CanterburyPark.com.
Number one.
The Wolves lost 107-98 to the Pelicans last night at Target Center. This is kind of the frustrating nature of this team, PA. Cat with the fouls, the whining in the first quarter. Offensively, an amazing game, but then it's like, hey, can he guard those big physical guys? Well, how about Valanciunas, who had 22 and 23 last night? At one point in the first half, our big three were 4 of 26 with just a couple minutes left in the second quarter. They were down by 7 into the fourth. That's when you and I were texting a bit about the game. Couldn't get the stops in the fourth. Great third quarter by Ann. I think he had like either 19 or 21 after going maybe he had 2 points in the first half, both of them free throws. But they're in Milwaukee tomorrow night. Looking forward to that because it's the champs. The Bucks are 3-1. It's their first home game since they beat the Nets in the opener. So they're in comfy confines. They battled and won with the Pacers last night. So Wolves losers now 2-1 on the season.
The defense definitely has improved. I mean, it is a common thread.
It is better.
And clearly a major focus for this team in certain facets of the game. The overall game, they're playing better defense. So that's leading to lower scoring games. For me, the cliched fly in the proverbial ointment is the Timberwolves half-court offense. I mean, it literally has significant problems, in my opinion. I mean, when it's D'Lo and Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns, and one guy has the audacity via human nature to be cold, the other guy's getting a lot of attention, you're down to one player who can score consistently. And it's bearing its fruit, and they were able to handle the previous games, but when it comes to getting behind by 10 points or more, and continually coming back via the half court offense, I think that's a problem. We will get into that with the techie about 15 minutes from now. Brandon Ingram, beloved BI. You can go ahead and play all the 85 Bears defense you want to try to play. Nobody was stopping him last night. When Anthony Edwards got a dramatic, wonderful, acrobatic, left-handed layup over Brandon Ingram and somebody barked at B.I., the greats and the really good ones put that in their back pocket and they just wait for like a moment in the fourth quarter when B.I. dunked on Anthony Edwards and he let him hear about it. So it was a supercharged game for about 20 minutes of real lifetime. Edwards stealing the show, B.I. being B.I. Now with Milwaukee on the horizon, one of their better players, Jrue Holiday, is missing time. But they're still finding ways to win, and they're still finding ways to kill teams. Looking forward to that one as we get a little tested for class.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this and just following, like, Beasley, for instance. Beasley has not been fantastic off the bench so far.
That is a disaster.
So how does that play into when you're talking about half-court offense and, you know, a team that loves to fly and they like to run and they can run, but when they got to slow that whole thing down, it is a three-horse race. And I hear them talking about it last night. They're like, well, we got to get other guys involved. Not just the three of us take shots. And those are kind of things you want to hear from an Ant. And I think Kat and D'Lo kind of chimed in and echoed some of those sentiments. Mm-hmm. But I have to be honest, who are you giving it to at this point? Patrick Beverley with kind of a shocking double-digit performance, but you're not going to rely on him to hit threes for you every night. So very difficult situation for the Howl.
Well, I mean, what with Beasley... And this is not an affront on where Malik has been, who he is, or where he's going.
Yeah.
Okay? I like Malik Beasley. And I know Malik Beasley can shoot and score. But I've also watched pretty much every minute of every game so far. And with all due respect, he's disengaged.
Yep.
He's just, whether it's, I don't want to be on the bench, come off the bench. I have no idea what it is. He looks disengaged. Some of the shots he's taking are ridiculous, and they're very early in the shot clock. But here's the problem. I don't want Anthony Edwards playing long minutes at small forward. Because when you play at small forward and you're looking to get 30 out of somebody, good luck doing that as he has to check Chris Middleton, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. Some of these high-end threes in the game, small forwards, Anthony Edwards is a nightmare for the opposition playing the second guard spot. So that's played into the whole Beasley piece. And if Malik doesn't like it, man, seriously, if you don't like it, screw you. Because, I mean, this is a team thing, not a you thing. And it's a thy, not an I, man. And they need pop off the bench. And if you don't like it or you don't like your lot in life, then it might be time to leave.
Number two.
The Wild left. But they went on the road to Vancouver. It's a 9 p.m. puck drop tonight on your home for Wild Hockey, the Fan. It's a Fallness Fest around 8:45. The Canucks, I thought it was just the Kraken getting the raw deal to start the season. The Canucks were on the road for the first six of the season. They've already won and lost in a shootout so far. And I bet teams, they got out with a 3-2-1 record. You get out with a winning record on a six-game road trip to start the season. Tonight's your home opener. This is your seventh game of the year. That's not a bad spot for the Canucks to be in. The Wild, not in a bad spot at 4-1. However, they have conceded the first goal in each of their games so far. They battled back in each one, of course, until the Preds just hammered down on them on Sunday. So looking forward to tuning into that. And 9 p.m. puck drop, your home for Wild Hockey.
Dean Evason, 9 to noon tomorrow, 11 a.m. Wild coach Dean Evason, tomorrow, 11 a.m.
Number three.
We'll get into more of this with Gleeman as well, PA. I imagine the Braves and the Astros, game one of the World Series. I've heard a lot of in regard to, are you excited for this series? And maybe it's thinking about those Astros, those cheating Astros, and they're back, and it's still Altuve and it's Carlos Correa and these guys. I'm kind of excited for it. I like the Braves. They're a cool team. Eddie Rosario's in the mix. It isn't just Dodgers, Yankees, or something more chalky. Like if the Red Sox were in this, I'm bored with Boston overall. So
yeah,
-134 the favorites for the home team, that being the Astros this evening. They're putting out, I believe it's Framber Valdez.
Yeah.
And former Astro Charlie Morton will be taking the mound against his former team. So 7 o'clock tonight, I think it's going to be kind of cool.
It's sweet. You're not going to watch every inning.
No, absolutely not.
And neither am I. I mean, it's as a mixer goes, cool. I know it's the World Series, and I love postseason baseball. But with the NBA full throttle, and with the NHL full throttle, and with the Wild tonight at 9, and the Wolves play tomorrow, and then the juicy one versus Kyler on Thursday, and then Friday hits and all bets are off for the weekend. Minimal World Series watching for me.
No, I agree, but I agree with that because I kind of want to see the Warriors in OKC tonight. I kind of want to see the Lakers, who look weird as hell thus far in the season. They're taking on Popovich and the Spurs and a nightcap. Mr. Whiteside and the Jazz hosting the Nuggets. That's what's cool. But I'm going to bounce around a ton. I got the Wild on at 9. I got Jazz and Nuggets on at 9. And I got World Series. I mean, your Tuesday night's not so bad.
Number 3.
It's the best.
Oh, how about this? New look Bulls. I want some quick twitch on this. The new look Bulls.
Yeah.
I saw this this article, this headline, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, they're kind of new look. Sure, whatever. Well, how about this? Only 3 players from last year are on their team. It's LaVine, Patrick Williams, and Kobe White, I believe. Otherwise, LaVine still top of the table from a scoring perspective, but DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, and Lonzo Ball filling out that starting rotation. Alex Caruso probably getting way more minutes than he should be, but he's there. Javonte Green, you know some of the names that are there. They're 4-0.
Yeah.
And they've beaten up on the Pelicans, and I can't remember, maybe it was the Pistons. I think they've had 2 doubles. They've had 2 against the Pelicans, 2 against the Pistons, both probably non-playoff teams. But the Bulls, have you watched any of the Bulls with that new lineup?
Yeah.
The distribution of Lonzo with Zach's scoring punch. DeRozan is kind of ageless, just walks up from San Antonio and starts putting 25 on people. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on these Bulls at 4-0?
I think they're wonderful. And they have a player for whom they've been waiting for at least a year or two, named Patrick Williams, who just can't get out of his own way.
Yeah.
I think he plays, he's a center forward hybrid. But if you look at his box scores, you won't appreciate what he gives that team when they need to win games.
Yeah, he doesn't give us positional flexibility in LFL, unfortunately.
Nope, but you slide him in the reality of it all, and if they can keep him healthy, they got a nice little lineup. So, yes, and Zach LaVine is just a fantastic player to watch. So the baby Bulls are growing up right before our very ears.
They're the only undefeated team left in the Eastern Conference. Otherwise, the Golden State Warriors and the Utah Jazz, 3-0 and 2-0, respectively, on the West Side.
Number 5.
The NFL took place yesterday in a Monday Night Football game up in Seattle. It was fairly anticlimactic for most of it, other than early. You get the 84-yard touchdown from DK Metcalf. You ultimately, I think you get a touchdown after a fumbled snap from Jameis Winston, gets it to Alvin Kamara. He gets into the end zone, but otherwise it was an awful game.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting to. But the Saints come out alive, 13-10 victors, and they're 4-2, and they're very solidly in a wild card spot. Your thoughts on the Vikings at 3-3 being that 7th seed, that final wild card, which means they would face the Bucs wild card weekend.
Yeah.
And just how the playoffs, or how the playoff teams, I should say, when you rattle off the undefeated Arizona all the way down to the purple, the Rams, Bucks, and Packers.
Yep.
How that thing is starting to shape out for you.
Well, there's a fantastic 4 with the aforementioned 4. Put Ooh. Green Bay in there. Green Bay, Arizona, Tampa Bay, and the LA Rams. Those 4 teams are fantastic. Now, right below them, you have some teams like the Minnesota Vikings, who have shown by basically outplaying the Arizona Cardinals the majority of the game and bleeping the game away at the end. They've shown what they're capable of, but they have not closed where other teams have closed, like the core 4 we mentioned atop the NFC. Below those 4 teams, the rest of the NFC, man, I mean, seriously, Dallas Cowboys, they're good. They can score. We'll see over the course of the season how well that defense holds up. Then you got the Vikings. We know them inside and out. Who else do you have?
Well, the Saints are at 4-2. Just think about that team right now with Jameis. As I said earlier, there's a big-time expiration date brick wall happening. I just don't know when.
Yeah, I agree. And they got killed by the Carolina Panthers, you know, but then they go out and kill teams like they killed the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
It's so freaking goofy this year, man, including with the Vikings. I mean, our season's been goofy, too. So we're only 6 into it, and plenty of time to let the proverbial chips fall where they may. Vikings and Cowboys, 7:20 Sunday, KFAN. Techie time around the corner. This is 9 to noon.